It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, January 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Video streaming company Netflix announces earnings today. The expectations are high among investors, but the company has challenges like growing the brand abroad. Joining us for a State of the Union on Netflix is our friend Molly Wood, who, by the way, was just named the newest deputy technology editor for the New York Times. Hey, Molly.
Hey, how are you, Ben?
I'm good. So, Netflix.
Netflix.
How do we feel about how this company is doing? There's a lot of interesting things happening.
Yeah, Netflix has been on fire. I mean, the stock price has been strong. Their reputation is strong. And although they're still suffering from a little bit of a dearth of movie content, I think Netflix has solidly established itself as this is where you come to watch TV.
And we now have this thing that's not necessarily causal, but there is, at the very least, some correlation here. Subscribers to premium pay networks like HBO, Showtime are dipping, and subscribers to companies like Netflix, these things are rising.
Which to me makes perfect sense. I'm loath to subscribe to HBO or Showtime, even though I know there's great content there. It's too expensive. So some of this, just at its core, is the fact that, you know, Netflix is cheaper. So I think people are just making a value decision. They can say, look, I could pay $20 a month or more for movie channels with my cable subscription and only get those shows.
Right.
Or I can pay $10, $15 a month for Amazon or for Hulu Plus or for Netflix and pray that the HBO shows will someday show up there.
As we all do every night before we go to bed.
Exactly. I light a candle for that almost every day.
Now, there's another thing we should talk about, which is they have 25 million users in the States, but maybe only about 5 million users abroad. Does that mean there's a lot of room for growth, or does that mean maybe Netflix not so white hot outside of the U.S. border?
It's a tricky issue for several reasons, one of which is just that, you know, culturally, depending on the country, people may not be used to paying for content or paying for streaming video content.
Right.
But the biggest problem is the same problem that Netflix has generally, which is licensing. I mean, they're talking about trying to license content that has unbelievably restrictive and confusing licensing rules regarding distribution overseas. A lot of these shows simply are not available overseas, even on DVD, and definitely not on streaming services. So even in countries where Netflix is currently available, there's a lot of content that people in those countries can't watch. And that's partly why I think you'll see more exclusives, more Netflix exclusive content coming out of them, because at least they can do whatever they want with it.
Deputy Technology Editor at the New York Times, Molly Wood. Molly, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
You may remember the federal court ruling last week that could allow internet service providers like Verizon to give users quicker access to websites that are willing to pay. Well, news this week that Verizon is buying a live TV and video streaming service from Intel. You don't have to squint too hard to read between the lines here, right? Verizon could eventually make it easier to get to its content than, say, a Netflix or Hulu Plus. By the way, Verizon's earnings report yesterday beat expectations with $31.1 billion in revenue. We talk about cloud computing a lot on this show, how we can store and access data online from any spot with an internet connection. Well, this month, universities in Europe are testing something called RoboEarth. It's cloud computing, but for robots. BBC technology reporter Jane Wakefield, hello.
Hello there.
So you and I use the internet all the time. If we're going to have robots in our lives, we need a internet for robots?
Well, yeah. I mean, as they're becoming more an important part of everyday life, they're going to need a place where they can store information. So an internet for robots seems like a very natural move.
This is sort of about robots working together to complete a task, say in a hospital.
Yeah, that's right. So these European universities who've been working on this project are going to test it.
Okay.
And they're going to use four robots who will attempt to kind of do some basic tasks as robots in the future may do in hospitals. So they're going to take a drink to a patient and a few other little tasks along those lines. So the whole idea of this online platform called RoboEarth is that it will act as a sort of place where they can upload information that can then be downloaded by another robot. So say, for instance, one robot is programmed to open a bottle of pills. It can upload the data about how the robot does that, the size of the pill pot, everything else.
This is sort of about robots sharing knowledge as we do online.
Exactly. You know, robots at the moment are quite stupid. They fall over a lot and they're also quite slow to do things. But with this platform, the hope is that they can get a whole lot cleverer. They can start sharing information so that somebody doesn't have to sit there and program each one individually.
Are there concerns here just beyond the usual sort of sci-fi scary stuff? Are there people who are worried?
I mean, it's a too niche project at the moment for people to sort of really sit up and worry about. But I'm sure that, you know, if this becomes a standard thing, that there is this worldwide web for robots, people will start to question exactly who's controlling it.
Well, at the very least, we should have a kill switch for the robot internet.
Yes. If it's like our internet, it'll go down at regular intervals anyway, and then all the robots will fall over or go completely mad. So, you know, technology even for robots is probably going to work as badly as it does for humans.
Jane Wakefield is a technology reporter for the BBC. Jane, thanks for looking at this with us.
Thank you.
And before we go, if you're a fan of the crazy addictive game app Candy Crush Saga, know this. The company that makes it, King, apparently trademarked use of the word candy in video games and clothing. And now other game makers using that word in their titles are starting to get letters saying they need to remove their apps from the iTunes store or change their name. Not sweet, Candy Crush, not sweet. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.